So perhaps you're wondering, what is the Feast of the Presentation all about? We recognize the gospel reading well enough, I think. Jesus is brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph. He's presented. They offer the ritual sacrifice of two turtle doves as a way to give thanks to God for a healthy male child and to redeem him, according to the Mosaic Law. But the question of why the church makes this into a feast, which will arise the fourth Sunday of ordinary time, might be still lingering in your minds if you're that sort of person that just wonders things like that. Well, what is the church trying to emphasize? Why that has this tradition of processing with candles, which is an option today? We could have done that. If I would have been more on the ball, we would have done that, but we didn't. What does it all mean? What's it all about? Well, part of what we reflect on today is this idea that Jesus is coming into the temple. His presence purifies this place of worship. Consider that later, Jesus will enter the temple and drive out the money changers and those who made the temple into a marketplace. We call that event the cleansing of the temple. Jesus' presence is a cleansing power, but another aspect is the great welcome that we see from Simeon and Anna. They're overjoyed to see Jesus. They want to be in this moment. They've been waiting and waiting for this moment of encounter with the Lord. The Canticle of Simeon expresses this sense of expectation, which has been a part of his life. Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, and so forth. This is the prayer that the church prays every night during night prayer. If you pray the night prayer, that's one of the Canticle of Simeon is part of that. Consider this event of Jesus coming into the temple and how it can be reflected in our lives too, in our daily lives. When would we most clearly see this? When would we most have this moment of presentation, we might say? I think there are many times, but especially in the sacraments. And I would say in particular, two sacraments really focus on this. First, our baptism. We receive the indwelling of God for the very first time when we're baptized. We were made to be in communion with God. Our bodies and our souls were meant to have God's presence in us, his dwelling place. But until we are baptized, it isn't really a reality yet. The temple in Jerusalem was meant to be a dwelling place for God. But the prophets spoke in the Old Testament, later in the Old Testament, about the fact that God's presence had left the temple because of their transgressions. The transgressions of the people, their sins, and so God's presence left the temple. Therefore, God is no longer present in that place. But the prophet Malachi today speaks about the return, that God will return. And now here today we celebrate the presentation when God comes back. The infant Jesus is brought into the temple place and God's presence is restored. Likewise, at our baptism, the Lord returns to this place he was always meant to be. We were made for God. God wants to be with us. He wants to have a communion with us. We are made for that. And so the baptism in our lives is that great moment, not just for us, but God rejoices in that. At that moment, God comes into our souls. We are the temples of God. And yet without baptism, our inner temples stand empty. What was meant to be a place of housing his presence is left empty. It would be as if we built a magnificent. There we go. Got it. Sorry, can't talk. If we have a magnificent home, but our family never lives there, it just kind of stands empty. It's like a storage unit or something like this. And we could have lots of cool treasures that are there, and yet it just isn't what it's meant to be. No matter how many awesome things we put there, it's meant to be a place for a family to dwell. And if that isn't happening, it's not fulfilling its purpose. Likewise, that's what it's like when we have our bodies, our souls, and we're waiting for God's presence. But if we're never baptized, we never have this welcoming of God into ourselves. It's kind of like we're not fulfilling our purpose. And that's what this great feast is reflecting upon. God's dwelling is ready, and he enters in. At our baptism, a candle is lit from the Easter candle. It represents the fact that we now have this light of Christ dwelling within us. And at this Mass, there's that option that we could process in with candles into the church, and this has a symbolic meaning of having the light of Christ dwelling in us. The second sacrament that clearly mirrors this feast of the presentation is the Eucharist, right? When we process forward to receive communion, we are preparing to receive once again the physical presence of God into our bodies. If we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, then we would receive, when we receive the Eucharist, we for a short while become a tabernacle, a living tabernacle with the physical presence of Christ within us. Psalm 24 today is speaking of this hymn of receiving the King of Glory. We are to reflect upon this reality that the presence of God is here in the church. He's here in our souls. While we remain in a state of grace, he's with us. He comes into our bodies when we receive him in the Holy Eucharist. We bring him with us wherever we go. When we go out of the church, we go out into the world, we bring the light of Christ with us. And we bring a little offering of ourselves to God. No matter how much we might feel at times that we've got nothing to offer, you think of Mary and Joseph that day bringing the two turtle doves. That's the poor offering, right? You could bring a lamb or two turtle doves. And they bring the doves. Obviously, it's a sign that they don't have a lot. We may think that we have nothing to offer or that we have not been worthy to receive God's presence, that we're not worthy to be his instrument or his co-worker. But if we're willing to approach him in baptism and we're willing to be nourished by the Eucharist, the Lord dwells in us and he works through us. Are we aware of this great dignity that we have, that we've been given? Do we reverence each other? Do we reverence the presence of God within each other? Because there is this reality that God is present among us. Do we have eyes to see that? We often do not pay attention or give proper reverence, I would say, to Christ and one another. How easily we forget that the Lord is present in one another. He's present in our souls. He's present in our neighbor. Do we see with the eyes of the angels? Do we see with the eyes of God? Do we see something greater? So I think we can strive to see in each other this greater awareness of Christ's presence. And can we make that effort to respect and hold sacred each person? It's easy to cut each other down, it is. In our day, we see that. To pay notice to those in front of us. How different would the world be if we treated each other with this due reverence that Christ is present in you, and he's present in me. So today, let's remember that the Lord was treated without reverence, without love at Calvary. As he made his way there, that nobody recognized that presence of God. We too at times can be hardened. We too can be closed off to the presence of God. Today we're reminded that he comes within us. He's here in this place at Mass. And may we now take this moment, this day, to be aware of that. May our eyes and hearts be open to receive Christ and reverence him in one another.